The context here being, of course, you can look right there in verse 1, Isaiah 43, page 751. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel. So we're talking about Israel, the context being prior to the invasion and the exile under Isaiah's preaching. And, you know, Isaiah is one of the Jews, and he's preaching to his people. And he, you know, when he talks about the sin of the nation, he's talking about his people too. And it's not, he's not pointing the finger. You know, he's saying we're in this, we're all in this. We're all included in this. He said, all have sinned. Who's that include? All of us. And all have come short of the glory of God. All of us. That whosoever will may come. Who does that include? Just whosoever will. And so it's up to us to make that decision to be out of the camp of all have sinned and into the camp of whosoever will. But you got to choose that. It's optional for all of us. But in chapter 42, right there on that same page, in verse number 22, so we kind of get an understanding of why we're here. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. They're hid in prison houses. They are for a prey. None delivereth. There's trouble. Trouble everywhere. There's no way out. They're in trouble. And look at what he says in verse 22 at the end. He says, and none saith, restore. Nobody. Nobody says, why don't we try to fix it? You know, we kind of alluded to that in our country, the nonsense that's going on in the world and the stuff that people get caught up in. They think, well, this will fix everything. And it doesn't fix anything. It probably didn't even make them feel better. But people seize on things because they feel like they can do something. Hey, let's do something that matters. That's what we should be doing. Something that matters. In this verse, understand what's happened. They have adjusted to loss and despair. They've been losing so much, they have become accustomed to losing. They've gotten used to it. They don't care anymore. They've just adjusted their lives to think, this is it. Here comes the enemy. Okay. Here comes an army. Okay. Well, the crops didn't thrive this year. Doesn't matter. Well, the river's dried up. Okay. They just get used to it. Because we should not get to a point where we're satisfied with failure after failure after failure. And defeat after defeat. Growing comfortable with defeat and complacency and hopelessness. We teach our kids they came from monkeys and they're here by accident and there is no purpose to life. And we wonder why they kill themselves and each other. We wonder why they won't take care of themselves and have some kind of an ethic, a work ethic, and a pursuit of joy and a pursuit of accomplishment, because nothing matters. Because it's just an accident. We're like the grass. It just withers away and dies and nobody cares. We've taught them that. We haven't, but the world has. And so they just eat, drink, and be merry and get all the pleasure you can. Just do it. If it feels good, just do it. And wonder why they're in the state they are. Mental health problems, behavioral problems at an all-time high. They need Jesus. We need Jesus. The more people that will come to Christ, the better off we'll be. They understand that we were here on purpose, and he's going to actually say that in here. But none said, let's do something. None said, restore. No, nobody decided to change anything. Verse 23, who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and has set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, It burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. They just keep suffering, and they never figured out what caused it. I talk to people, and every once in a while they'll tell me, well, I know I got a drinking problem. But they don't understand that that's what's caused all the chaos in their lives. It's at the root of it. Yes, it's deeper than that. But that's a huge, if you cut that out, it will solve a lot of problems. And some people don't know that just their mouth gets them in so much trouble. And they don't understand it. And if they would fix it, they could fix it. But that's what happens. And the lying and the cheating. And we don't understand, but what's wrong with my life? You got to stop doing what you're doing. If you keep doing what you have been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. I know that wasn't new with me. But at some point, we got to say, what's got to change? And here, Isaiah is saying, guys, here's what's got to change. God has loved you. He has tried to get you. He sent prophets to warn you. You didn't heed the warning. You backslid. You forsook his name. You worshiped other gods. And God said, okay. And he brought trouble. And what did it take for him to get it turned around? All they would have had to do is turn to God and say, God, we turn to you. We worship you. You're God. We're going to stop being humanistic and selfish and worshiping the creature. We're going to start worshiping the Creator. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't. And so they suffered. We step into chapter 43. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee. He created Israel. He created Jacob. By the way, he created us. I know there's a natural process. But God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And called thee and separated you, ordained you. There was a purpose for your life before you were born. The same was true with Jeremiah. The same is true with us. You're not an accident. I have redeemed thee. Oh, we missed a part there. He said, fear not. Fear not. Instead of being troubled, have hope. Instead of worrying, have hope. He said, I have redeemed thee. I have restored your value. I have increased your value. I have called thee by thy name. Israel, yes. Jacob, yes. You, yes. Don't you remember that moment when they were outside the tomb on that Sunday morning and Mary came to the gardener and she said, sir, where did you move him? And he said, Mary. And she said, Lord. It was the way he said her name. She knew that was her shepherd. What does the Bible say? My sheep know my voice. You see, the voice of God, the voice of God through the Holy Ghost inside of us, speaking to us, calling us, warning us, encouraging us, coaching us, God in us. Did you see the last part of verse 1? Thou art mine. Who's God talking about there? Israel. This mess that's going on over there now. It's unimaginable that we're allowing the protests to go on in this country. But that's what happens when you have open borders and let everybody pour in here like that. Colleges and universities have become petri dishes for communism. And they're teaching the socialism and the communism and all of this anti-American stuff. Anti-Israel. Let me tell you this. If Hamas had not attacked Israel on October 7th, we wouldn't be here. Israel is not the aggressor. I'll say it again. If Hamas would lay down their weapons, there would be peace. If Israel lays down their weapons, Israel will be eliminated. Israel must defend itself. Now, I say that But let me, of course, say this. In the natural world, that's true, but God is in control. And if Israel laid down their weapons, God would whip Hamas without Israel. Because God is not going to allow Israel to be eliminated. Look at what he says, verse 2. Again, talking about Israel, but we can apply it to us. And there is a verse in here that actually tells us we can apply it to us. But it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. How many of you have ever felt like you were drowning in life? But you know what he says? He said, I will be there. I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You're not going to be carried away. Sometimes it feels that way with all that's rushing toward us. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God is saying to Israel, I've got your back. I've got you. I'm going to take care of you. Have hope in me. Trust in me. Sunday morning we were talking about Paul. Paul said, you know, all the suffering we're going to, but don't forget, he said, we were appointed to this. You know what Paul's saying? He said, I trust God. Doesn't matter what I go through, I'm just going to trust God. Now don't bring it on yourself, but trust God. We're not going to be free of trouble, but we can trust God through the trouble. And that's what he's telling Israel here. Verse 3, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for the ransom, for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. What is God saying? God is saying, if there's a choice, I choose you. Isn't that incredible? That God would say that to Israel and that God would say that to us. That's why we're saved. He first loved us, the Bible says. He first loved us. He came to Nathanael, remember in their first greeting. And Nathanael said something and Jesus said, I saw you when you were sitting under that tree. And he was impressed by that, wasn't he? Jesus knew us. He knew you when you were sitting under that tree. Before you got in a church house, before you heard the gospel, before you understood how to be saved, Jesus saw you from a distance and said, I love you. And he went after us and he gathered us to himself. Fear not, verse 5, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, the regathering of Israel. And this is in Isaiah. Before they went to Babylon. Before the dispersion after the crucifixion. For years there was no nation of Israel. But now they have been gathered back and they've raised the flag to be Israel again. Unto the end of days. God did not forget his people. Though they were scattered, he still loved his people. He still wanted to gather his people back together. Look at what he says in verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name. You're talking about Christians. You're talking about Israel. You're talking about Jacob. He's talking about us. I have created him for my glory. Why are we alive? So we can get rich, see who can have the most toys when we die? Guess what happens to all those toys when we die? They stay here. Graves are the same size. Urns are the same size. None of us getting out of here alive unless the Lord comes back and raptures us. This is about serving him. This is about honoring God, not about serving ourselves. Not about money, not about obtaining wealth or amassing a treasure. For my glory I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Again, Israel, yes, and us. God made us. Remember that little cartoon, little picture said, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. And that's true. I know y'all have all seen that. Look at what he says in verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, the deaf that have ears. Hold on a second. You mean it's not that they can't see it, it's that they don't want to see it. And we're running rampant with that today, aren't we? People just won't see the truth. Digging in our heels and anchoring down, we just won't see what's right in front of us. Verse 9, let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Here's the incredible thing. We've got these reports out there of these dinosaurs and how many millions of years old they are, and the earth and how many millions of years old it is, and how the world was created. And you know what God says? Who was here to see all that? He said, bring me some witnesses that saw it happen. Bring me some witnesses that have it marked on their calendar. He said, they weren't. So let them sit down and say it is truth. Let them hear me and say it is truth instead of making this stuff up. It's incredible. God, you know, and God ruined all of our ability to tell all that stuff when he flooded the earth, didn't he? How old is the earth? How old was Adam when he was one day old? Well, he was one day old. How old did he look? Probably 30, 40. You know, we have this idea that God created the earth and it wasn't an earth seed. It was an earth. Let's talk about old as dirt, right? Dirt was old the day it was made. He said, let them bring forth witnesses. Verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm reminded of a sister that was in the hospital, and she said, I've talked to Buddhists and Muslims and everybody, all these different religions, and I figure it's okay. Just need to get everybody praying. Can't hurt. But let me tell you something. Unless they're praying to God through his son, Jesus Christ, it can't help either. I don't want your thoughts and well wishes. Give me prayers. Positive thoughts and energy. Don't give me your positive thoughts and energy. Get on your knees and pray for me. He said, beside me there is no Savior. There's nobody that could come up with another God or another way or another creator or the explanation for creation, not with sense, not that actually explains it. Verse 12, I have declared, I have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. That I am God. There was nobody else. I am God. Before the day was, I am He. Verse 13. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. Who shall let it? Who's going to stop God from doing what God does? You can't. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are as quenched as tow. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the Red Sea. He said, I parted the water. And the army came in, and they were just like seaweed. And they've discovered all this. I mean, it's there in the bottom of the sea. They found it. Archaeologists just keep revealing how true the Bible is. Well, if we start at the point believing that it's true, then we don't need that. I don't need evidence. I trust God. But I'll take the evidence because it helps with the ones who come along and say it's not true. They crossed the Red Sea. God said it was. Who's going to stop it? Now, let me ask you a question. If you were in Pharaoh's army that night, Egyptian army, as they came to the Red Sea and a wall on either side, I know you stopped your chariot and looked before you went across, didn't you? And then you thought, well, we got to go. So whip, whip, and off you go, and you're riding your chariot, and the water starts to fall. What did you do? You put your hands up. Did you stop it? No, you didn't. Why? Because you can't stop what God's doing. You can put your hands up if you want to. The water's coming. Verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. He said, I wish that y'all would stop worried about what you did in the past. People will come to me and say, but Pastor, you don't know what kind of person I was. No, but God does. And he sent his son Jesus down the cross for you. And all your sin, and mine too. Well, I rejected God, so did Paul. God loved him too. And God loves you. Look at what he says. Behold, I will do a new thing. He says, let me do a new thing. Y'all worried about the old stuff. Let me do something new in you. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, I can do the impossible. So stop holding on to the past and worried about the past and let me do my thing. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Again, is he talking about Israel? He is. Is he talking about us? He is. They shall show forth my praise. Verse 22, but thou hast not called upon me. Thou hast been weary of me. Can you imagine that? I mean, we really get tired of God. Does God really expect so much of us? Realize there are people who get on their hands and knees and crawl a mountain on rocks and sand trying to get to some idol at the top in a little makeshift altar. And they think somehow that pays penance for their sin. And it didn't. All it did is give them blisters. And people, they cause themselves to suffer because they want to show repentance before God. Look, you don't have to pay for your sin. You can't pay for it. Can't. The blood of the perfect Lamb paid for our sin. And it's washed away. It's all washed away through the blood of Jesus. But hast thou called on me, he says in verse 20. But did you call on me? He said, I did all this for you. Did you? And you're not calling on me? I did all this for you. Verse 23. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. What's he saying? He said, I didn't put the burden on you, but you sure have put a burden on me. It doesn't sound very fair, does it? You have wearied me with your iniquities. Verse 25. And let me back up just a second. How many of you have ever tried to confront somebody when they're wrong? You ever try that? Especially somebody that didn't want to hear it? Is that the whole system or just this microphone? Is this on now? Okay. Sorry for the interruption. But you try to tell somebody they're wrong and they don't want to hear it. And then what happens? They get mad at you. They're the ones that's wrong. They get mad at you. God says, you've wearied me with your iniquities. I've done everything I can to show you a better way. And all you do is burden me. Now, let me ask you a question. Is God getting ready to break up with him? Because that sounds like a breakup song, doesn't it? I did everything for you.
and you burden me. I'm going to write that when I get home. I could write it, just don't sing it. It sounds like a breakup song, doesn't it? But look at the next verse. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. You know what God said? God says, you burden me, but you know what? I'm going to forget it. Why? Because I love you. Why? Because I don't want you to leave. Why? Because I'm not leaving you. Reminds me of the guy's wife said, I'm leaving. He said, well, hang on. She said, why? He said, I got to go get my suitcase packed. I'm going too. That's God. Isn't that God? That's God. He said, I know it's not fair, and I know you've abused me and you've mistreated me. You've not shown me love like I've shown you love. I've given you everything I can. But he said, I want you to know I forgive all of it. I'm blotting out your transgression. Why? He said, for my sake. He said, why? Because I don't want to live without you. Wow, that's love. That's love. Look at what he says in verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. This is God standing as the judge and coming from the judge's bench down and defending you at that table. That's God acting as our advocate, as our representation, as our attorney, as our counsel. God said, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. We need the Lord. But we're complacent. We take advantage. We abuse the privilege. God sent his only begotten Son. He died for our sins. He washed our sins away. He gave us a fresh, clean slate. And we didn't keep it clean. And you know what God put in his Bible just to make sure we understand? His mercies are new every morning.